Christian greetings to all of you. It's a blessing to be here and worship with you. The song we just finished singing is a picture of beautiful freedom. Freedom that can only be experienced as we experience the Lord Jesus. I don't know if you noticed the verse on top of the song, but it said, "They that wait upon the Lord will experience," it didn't say this, but will experience the things that that song mentioned and we sang about. You can be assured this morning, brothers and sisters, that as you wait, as you yield, and as the Lord Jesus lives in you, we can have that freedom. What a wonderful promise. We all enjoy being free in spirit, free in our hearts, free from condemnation. Knowing the peace and the joy that comes with that freedom, we all want that. We all crave that. It's there. It's available for us. It's a blessing to be here with you. Looking across the audience, I'm well aware that it's been a long time since I was here. I thought I knew this congregation, and things have changed a lot. But that's good. That's not all bad. There's a lot of good in that. It tells us that people are interested in the things that God is interested in. The things that really matter in church life, really matter in life and in church life. And so it's good to be here and worship with you this morning. One of the things I wonder about as I come to a congregation like this sometimes is what should we share? What should we preach about? I haven't been here. I don't know what your ministry has been sharing. I don't know what the diet has been that's here. And so we sometimes wonder. And this week, as I've been praying and I sought the Lord what I should share, when we travel like this, I believe all of us as ministry usually have this habit of going back through some messages that we already preached, have shared, and we look at them and we wonder, you know, what should we share? And that was my experience this week. But when the brother got up and had devotions and he started talking about kindness, I said, "Yes, Lord. You've spoken to someone else's heart." And the song leader got up and let that song freely we have received, freely give. My heart again said, "Yes, Lord." I think we're on the same track. We're in this together. This morning, the message I want to share with you is entitled, "Living for the Good of Others." Living for the good of others. So I look into this audience, I see life. I see people who are living. You look well and alive this morning. And I believe you're living life. You're living the normality of life. You're involved in things. You're making decisions. This past week, I don't know what all you've done, but you were living life in the way that you chose to live life this past week. How much of your life, how much of my life this past week was lived thinking about others, caring about others, realizing that there are people who are on journeys just like I am? It It's easy to think about my own journey. It's easy to think about my own needs, my family's needs, my spouse's needs. The list goes on. Family and spouse are thinking about others, living for others. But so often it's easy to get caught up in my own needs, and we somehow miss out on sharing the heartbeat of others. You may open your Bibles. We're going to look at a few scriptures in the introduction to this message. But I'd like to take you, first of all, I'd like to take you to the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 10. In verse 5, where Jesus had just called his disciples, and he said to his disciples, Matthew 10 and verse 5, it says, "These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils." Then he said this, "Freely ye have received, freely give." I want us to think about that phrase this morning, brothers and sisters. Freely ye have received. Freely ye have received. What do you have this morning that hasn't been given to us? Think about that. The psalmist said in chapter 24, verse 1, he said, "The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, and the world, and they that dwell therein." What is left? The earth. The fullness of the earth. The world. They that dwell therein. The people. God's created people. They're all the Lord's. Is there anything else left? He is the owner. He is the creator. He is the one that gave it to you and I, the very things that we have, the possessions that we have, the life that we have, the families that we have, the children that we have, if you please, the money that is in your bank account, the property that you live in, the house that you live in, the things that you call yours. The list goes on. It's all inclusive. It is the Lord's. He gave it to you. This past week, brothers, we were at work. We were doing what is our responsibility of making a living. The idea was to make a few dollars, right, so that we can pay the bills, support our families. And I don't know how much profit was in this congregation this past week on the brother's side by the things that you were involved in. But you know what? It's the Lord's. It was the Lord's. And he allowed you to go to work. He gave you the health to go to work and make that living this week and make that profit and make that money. And had he not given it freely, it wouldn't be yours to enjoy now. You wouldn't have it in your possession. That is so true for all the things we have in life. Freely ye have received, freely give. It just blesses my heart when I think about the greatness of God and the goodness of God and the fact that God is the giver of it all. But it also brings some soberness to life. And the fact that the things that we have are just given to us, and they're not really ours. They're given to us to share with others. The challenge of this message is this morning, living for the good of others. I guess in a question form, the challenge would be, what is our focus? What are we focusing on? What are we doing for the good of others? What are we doing with the things that we freely have been given? Are we hanging on to them for ourselves? Are we channels in which they can pass through and bless the lives of others as well? It's a challenge I'd like to leave with us. The Bible has a lot to say about this subject. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I'd like to read a few more verses. So far we thought, and I'm just trying to bring your minds along with us this morning, so I took you to the natural things of life and the things that are somewhat easy for us to grasp and get our minds on. But the Apostle Paul had more to say about this, and Jesus had more to say about this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we're going to break in at verse 6. We should actually maybe, well, let's just break in at verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Again, connecting these thoughts to the fact that God is the owner of all things, and all that we have is God's. Paul said, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We experience persecution, he says, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Why? That the life also of Jesus Christ be made manifest in our bodies. Here Paul is saying that what you have in your heart and in your spirit is a gift from God. In other words, the plan of salvation and the fact that we have joy and peace in our experience this morning, and we have the assurance that we are the children of God. I'm talking to an audience that I believe knows what I'm talking about this morning. It was given to us. Jesus came and he gave his life so that we could have life, and that we could have it more abundantly, the Bible tells us. That was the very reason for Jesus to come onto earth. And so, all the spiritual things that we have this morning are gifts. We cannot work out our salvation. We know that. We understand that. It's clear. It's a gift from God. The fact that we can experience love, that we can experience, well, the list just goes on and on. I'm running ahead of myself. But Paul also said back in verse 4, this sobering thought, but if our gospel is hid, it is hid to those that are lost, to the lost sheep of Israel, to the world around us, to the very ones that God is calling us to be living for the good, since we have received so much and we have this, the ability to give and be channels through which God can. Sometimes we say we're the hands and feet of Jesus. Are we? That's a challenge that I want to leave with us this morning. Just some questions to ponder. Who will help the fearful, the depressed, the rejected? They're all around us. There's many of them. They're around you. They might be your next door neighbor. The man down the road a little ways. The man that walks into the shop next week with his head hanging low. There are many who are fearful right now with the economy, the political scenes, many things that are happening in our world that haven't happened in the same way before. It brings fear. It brings depression. There's many other reasons why people fall into these categories and they feel rejected. Jesus is telling you and I, freely ye have received. If you're not one of them this morning, if you're here and you trust in the Lord and you have hope and you have confidence that in light of the fact that things are, may I say, not good, we know that God is in control. If we have that confidence, freely ye have received, freely give. Hand some hope to someone else. Who will go the second mile in building good human relationships in our communities? In the church, it takes work, it takes effort to keep on loving each other as we ought to in church life. We are people with differences, different backgrounds, different ways of thinking, different ways of expressing ourselves. Some can hardly express themselves, and others are forward and bold like some of us are, and we just say it how it is. And we need to accept each other and love each other and keep on building relationships with each other, because they can deteriorate rapidly. There are misunderstandings at times. Recently, I made a comment in a small group of people about our congregation back home. And you all are about at the same size this morning, I see. But I said the congregation is really that large. I didn't quite say it. I don't think I said it in that way. I said there's really two congregations in this congregation, I think was how my comment was. And one brother took it that I'm trying to say that the congregation is divided, that there's two congregations here, two different thought lines going on in this church. And that's not what I meant. I meant the size of the congregation. But you see, just little things like that, those things happen between us at times. We misunderstand, or we take something that wasn't really meant the way it was said. And so it takes a working together. But who will go the second mile building these relationships? Who will give direction for the troubled? Or just a listening ear? Sometimes giving direction is best done by just listening and not saying a lot. Who will give hope when hope is gone? God is calling us. He's calling you and I to do this. Verse 6, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. We have an understanding of God's plan of salvation. We have answers because God gave us answers. We have hope. So he's calling you and I to that responsibility this morning. Turn with me back to 1 Peter. Peter has some things to say about this thought of living for the good of others. 1 Peter chapter 4. We'll just break in at verse 7 again. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober, and watch, and pray, and above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover a multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. as every man hath received the gift. Here's the thought again. Freely receive, freely give. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. The things that God gave to you and I, the grace that He bestowed upon us, the manifold grace, talks about many graces, much grace. We've received it. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. God's call to hospitality is very clear. The practice of giving, the practice of, sometimes we use the terminology, entertaining other people, entertaining strangers with kindness, entertaining visitors with kindness and courtesy. Hospitality means being a lover of people. Again, we can only love because we were loved. It issues from God, and God showed us love, and therefore because we experience it, it's the only reason we know how to share it with anybody else. Love is not a part of us, naturally speaking. And because, again, we have received, we can give it to others. Jesus had some things to say about that as well. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 5. This idea of being a lover of people and the necessity of that. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 43, Jesus said this, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven." You get that? You see what he's saying? He says that love is not an option if we want to be God's children. To be a child of God this morning, you and I must have the quality of love, the gift of love. We must share it. We must bless the lives of others with love. Even the very people that hate us, the very people that wrong us, the very people that use us despitefully, the very people that take you across next week and make you lose a bunch of money in that business deal because they were looking out for themselves. Brothers, we must love them. We must act like Christians so that we can be the children of the Heavenly Father. We cannot retaliate in the way that we would like to, the way our flesh would like to. We dare not go there. We are to live life for the good of others. So it means being a lover of people is what it means. Even people who seem like you just about can't love them. You see, there's no difference. Verse 45, I didn't read that, but it says that he makes the rain to fall and the sun to shine on the good and the evil, on the just and the unjust, is what he says. As God looks upon his creation, this world, the people are his, he has a desire for every one of them to be saved and to have a relationship with them. He wants to use you and I to accomplish that. It is a commandment. We're also to use hospitality to build each other up in the church. Paul talked about this in Hebrews, where he said, let us consider one another and provoke unto love and to good works. You see, this morning, right within your congregation here, right within church life, our working together and our rubbing shoulders with each other, I'll say here in church life, is either a detriment to each other or it inspires. It's good. It works. That's just the way it works. We can be a discouragement to others by the choices we make, by the things we say, by the way we handle some things about church life and so on. Or we can be an encouragement to each other by being there and by being enthused about church life and by entering into worship and by contributing to it. I'm a person that needs the influence of others around me, positive influence, to help me stay enthused. When I'm among people who seem like they're unenthused, there's something about me that starts dying as well. I can tell it. My spirit starts drooping. The opposite is as true, is true as well. And brothers and sisters, I was blessed to be here this morning through the service. I felt inspiration here that I needed. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. You see, it's used as a benefit to the receiver. Living for the good of others. We want the receiver to benefit. We give to another without expecting anything in return, because we just want to bless their day. We want to bless their life. It is given in the name of Jesus for the encouragement of others and for building friendships. My mind goes to, we're not going to take the time to go there, but we could go back and we could read that account again in Genesis, where Abraham exercised hospitality when those three men came to him. And Abraham was sitting in his tent and he looked out and he saw them come. And he commanded his servants to get busy and to prepare the meal. You know what? Abraham didn't have the modern conveniences you and I do today. He had to send someone out to fetch a calf, to kill the calf and to dress the calf and to prepare. There was work involved. And he didn't know who those three men were. They were complete strangers to him. But Abraham was a man who had a heart for hospitality, apparently. Abraham's actions illustrated the true meaning of hospitality. You see, to him, it was more than opening the freezer up and pulling something out and plugging in the coffee maker, as it were, or getting the coffee started or pushing the buttons on the microwave for a few seconds and warming it up, and he was raring to go. It required a lot more than that. But Abraham, in his heart, had learned to live for the good of others, even those that he did not know who they were. When was the last time that you opened the freezer, the refrigerator, or the microwave, or any of those things? In other words, made a meal for the stranger that came down the road and stopped in at your home. We usually want to know what their mission is, first of all, and what they're doing. And you see, that's easy to do for our friends and our acquaintances and those that we meet. It's a challenge to myself. I'm asking myself these questions. Where are we? Where's our comfort level in these kind of things? You see, so many times self is what keeps us from doing the good things for others, is what it is. Let's go to another passage, Romans chapter 12. Very familiar passage. Romans 12 and verse 10. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. right here is part of it, wrote up behind me. Why not this morning, brothers and sisters, since we have received so much and we have so much, why not use the things that we have? Why not use our homes, for instance, as a way of building bridges of friendship with other people? Open our homes up. You know, this can be a way of building the kingdom of Christ. It's the way it's done. It's the way it works. That's what we're doing. We're doing more than just building relationships with others here in earth and for the benefit and the enjoyment that they get out of it or that we get out of it. But let's use our lives, our homes, the possessions that we have for the furtherance of the kingdom. The goal is to share the message of the gospel with others and have them receive the promise that can be theirs. And the way we do this is by opening up our homes and by sharing the things we have. Yes, it starts with sharing physical things many times, and we reach over into the spiritual realms as we do that. It usually doesn't work too well the other way. Sometimes it might, but we cannot force gospel down their throat when they're hungry and they're destitute and they're naked. And you know, we need a start where they come forth and open up, and there's confidence, there's relationships built. That's what God wants you and I to do, and our homes and the things that we have are an avenue to that. Hospitality, really, dear ones, is a process that starts here or in earth life. And it extends into eternity, is what it does. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come in, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. When did we do these things? It's an opportunity that is here. Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love. In honor preferring one another. In honor preferring one another. What does this mean? It's interesting to me that he, right on the tail end of that phrase, in honor preferring one another, he goes on to this subject. He says, not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Not slothful in business. Yesterday, I drove around in your community because we haven't been here for a while, and I've been here enough in the past that I knew my way around a little bit, and it was interesting to see the prosperity, I'm going to call it, that's going on. It doesn't look like the Mennonites in your community are slothful in business. In fact, it looks like they're fervent in spirit, especially when it comes to business and, I believe, work ethics and those kind of things. I don't wonder if they're preferring one another. You see, I live in a community like that too. And I watch business life, and sometimes it appears, like Mennonite businessmen just pretty much, if I can run over the other guy and get ahead, I will. I'll do that. It appears that way. And I know we can't be judges of those things necessarily, because we don't know what a man has really is in his heart. But I have to wonder sometimes what the world thinks about that and how they take those things and what kind of testimony we're leaving. That's where my mind's going, and I'm thinking about living for the good of others and this idea of honor preferring one another. Can I back away from some good business deal because I know that my church brother's interested in the business deal as well, and that his heart beats in this too? And can I prefer him, and I say, well, do I really need this, or can I let him have this? You see what I'm saying? I wonder about those things sometimes. See, I don't think Paul was talking about being fervent in spirit here in that way. I think Paul was talking about being excited about the things that matter to God. And being fervent in spirit and sharing the gospel and sharing the message and reaching others and living for the good of others. I think that's what Paul was referring to as far as... But you see, where does it begin is the point that I want to make. How do we reach others? Can we run over each other in the little things that we think are little things sometimes and then be fervent in spirit and sharing the gospel message? Think about that, brothers and sisters. I think sometimes we mess up pretty bad. We get the wrong things in the wrong place. Paul was talking about people who were not taking care of things in the earthly things, slothful in business. Has a different meaning, but he goes on and he says we're supposed to rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, continue in prayer for each other and those kind of things. Distributing, verse 13, to the necessity of saints given to hospitality. Again, he's connecting that thought. And so hospitality is a call that God wants. It's a principle that, may I say it like this, it's a principle that we had better learned here if we expect to enjoy it in the future and in eternity. And we better put it into practice. Use hospitality one to another. Thirdly, the third point that I'd like to make this morning, as I think about living for the good of others, is we must be those who are living in the spirit of forgiveness. The psalmist says again, "For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive." How many of you needed forgiveness this morning? We all did, didn't we? We all need forgiveness. Forgiveness is a painful thing at times. You know, dropping the charges against someone that we think has wronged us and canceling the demands that we would like to put to that is a painful experience. Can be a painful experience. Is a painful experience. You see, our human tendency and our nature is there's going to be payday for that one. We're going to see to that somewhere. We might not voice that, but underneath, that's what it feels like to us. And we might even think that sometimes. And God's way is, God says, lay it down. Forgive. Cancel the charges. Get a hold of your own spirit and love that brother. Regardless if he comes back and he says I'm sorry or not, or if he tries to make amends or not, or if he goes on and he just does it again. And I say, brother, it can be a brother in the church. It can be in relationships in the business world, in the community. You know what I'm talking about this morning. Jesus says we're supposed to love those that persecute us. It's a Christian's responsibility. It's a part of living for the good of others. And I'll be the first one to admit, because there's times that I have felt wronged. Felt like I was done in. And yes, I know you need to lay down and you need to forgive, and you do that and you think you have conquered and you think you're there. But just let the right thing happen at the right moment again, and it just brings all of it back up in your feelings again, and you're like, it's not a once and a done deal, brothers and sisters. And if you find yourself struggling like that, you're not abnormal. It's the way it works. And so we need to talk about these things, and we need to encourage each other in these areas, because, dear friends, it's what God demands of us. We need to drop the charges. And we want to. And we have that knowledge, and we have that spirit in ourselves. But what did Paul tell us? What did I read this morning? We have that spirit in earthen vessels. This human nature is still there, gravitating as well. And it wants to come forth. We need to crucify. We need to die again and again and again in these areas. And it's so hard to do at times. Forgiveness. Brothers and sisters, let's have the spirit of forgiveness. Freely we have received. Freely we were forgiven. Freely let's forgive others. And I think you understand. We could go on in that. I'd like to go to the next point. Fourthly, I'd like to talk a little bit more about disappointments. And when I say disappointments, I'm not talking about, well, let me say it like this. Sometimes we enter into the lives of others because we know that God wants us to live for the good of others, going back to my title. And we try to do that. And we pour so much time and so much energy into a life. Maybe it's the neighbor woman down the street. And you think that you're getting somewhere. You see things changing and you feel good about your help. And there's a blessing and there's a reward that's coming. And it inspires you and you feel good about it. And all of a sudden, something happens that you realize you didn't gain as much ground as you thought you did. And it's a disappointment. It's a letdown to us. You see, these things are a part of life as well. And what can happen when those things happen, we can all of a sudden draw back and say, well, what's the use of even putting energy into the lives of others, because it ends up being a disappointment to us. I've been there. I think you know what I'm talking about. We just shake our heads and we say, why? I loved her. I loved him. I thought he was my friend. She showed so much promise. I thought there was hope. And we're let down. And it makes us feel like going home and not trying again. Can you identify with that? I see some heads nodding. I know you can. I'd like to just think a little bit this morning. How do we handle these kind of disappointments when people let us down? Whatever the situation is, whatever the scenario is, do we blame others? Do we blame ourselves? Do we become discouraged? Do we avoid becoming attached to new relationships in order to protect ourselves in case they prove unfaithful? Those are some things that have tendencies to happen. Those are things that we want to go there sometimes. We want to go to those kind of places. Let's go back to Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Verse 1, 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of God, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and unto the patient waiting for Christ. Verse 13. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. Verse 14 gives us a little more direction. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, in other words, if you're let down and it doesn't do what you want, yes, we're to note that man, we're to be careful. What verse 15 says, but count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. It tells us we're not to give up. Keep on trying. Keep on. Reach out again. Yes, it brought some disappointments. It brought some temptations. But living for the good of others, what I'm trying to say this morning is not giving up on them. No matter what happens in life, no matter how much they disappoint us, there's a soul, and the soul is worth. God wants that soul. And we dare not, as children of God, give up. God didn't give up on us. I don't know why he didn't give up on me. I rebelled and refused and turned away from him many times when I shouldn't have. But God kept on calling, prompting, being faithful, being there. And when I needed him, he was there. He didn't let me down. That's what he wants us to do with others. Fifthly, living for the good of others takes discernment. I'd like to just talk about this a little bit. I'll wrap this message up very soon here. But it takes discernment. And what I want to say this morning about that is that people are different. And let's keep that in mind. I talked about the differences of people before. People are different. Some people need space. They don't like to be smothered. I probably fall in that category. I don't like to be put in a corner too tight. I like some space. There are other people who almost thrive on being smothered. They just love when people just are over them and in them and with them and they're there and it's the differences in our makeup. This calls for discernment. The Bible says, we read there in Hebrews, let us consider one another. Let us consider one another. So, living for the good of others means that we must be discerning people. Because we can write in a territory that some people don't appreciate if we're not careful. And this is hard to know with people we don't know, but I guess I'm thinking of this more in the context of church life where we know each other. As you go to church together and as you rub shoulders and as you interact with families, you soon learn who likes to have a little space, who's comfortable with space, or who likes when something happens that you're all there and you do what they want to do. And so I just bring that in as a note of encouragement. Sometimes people are inconsiderate. Just because I like it one way doesn't mean that Steve likes it in the same way. Kirvin and I can probably hit it off in the same way. I've learned to know him pretty good in the last few years. And I think we both need our space sometimes, but we all do. I like to think about the word consider. What does the word consider mean? Consider one another. Consider means to observe fully. How does this person really like things? Do they like it this way on this plate, or do they like it on this plate? My mind's failing for some good examples right now on that. But you know what I'm saying? Do they like it this way? We observe fully. In other words, we discover. This means we need to learn to know each other well enough. We fellowship and have enough with each other that we can understand each other, that we perceive, that we discover. That's what consider means. We try to understand how to encourage and comfort and stimulate them in the things that mean so much to them and are a help to them to love and to good works and to hope. And that's what it means. Consider. Brothers and brothers and sisters consider each other in church life. Be there, but give the space that is needed sometimes. Living for the good of others. The last point I want to make this morning is that, this is my sixth point, the truly happy and fulfilled people are those who share their lives with others. Yes, it's work. It takes a lot of time. But you know what? The people that don't, the people that live for self, the people that have their own agenda and are concerned about their own lives and their own needs, are usually not the happy people at the end of the day anyhow. Because you know what happens? We say this about so many things in life. But the more you feed something, the more it grows. And the more we feed ourselves, the more the appetite grows at home. It's just how it is. And it's never satisfied. And if you're just not looking for your own bank account or your own self, whatever it is, that thing never finds enough. It always wants more. And you will run after that, and you will run over others, and you will not consider others, and you will do a lot of things that I alluded to already this morning, because it's about self. Me, myself, and I, we say sometimes, the big I. So this morning, dear friends, the truly happy and fulfilled people are those who share their lives with others. It costs money. It takes time. It hurts. It brings disappointments. But it's worth it all, because in the end it brings joy. Why? Because you know you've done what Jesus told you to do. It's the heart of Jesus. It's His hands and His feet at action. Let's be that in this world of hopelessness. God has called a very special people. He called a people of hope. These people are the church of the living God, is who they are. They're people who have responded to the things that were freely given. And they live to freely give to others for their good as well. May God bless you. Let's kneel for prayer.